The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A widow also came in and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor woman put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord.
But she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood. This is called the spirituality of giving. The spirit that makes the difference. The spirit that distinguishes the gift. And that is the story of the widow's mite. Very commonly said and used the expression, "I'm giving my widow's mite." We hear that from time to time, "my widow's mite." What is this widow's mite? It's baffling that Jesus would sit by the treasury to watch those who make donations. We're not sure what prompted Jesus to do that. But Jesus has got some great lessons for us here. And that message is that God notices the cost of the gifts to the donor more than the objective value of the gift. The cost of the gift, what it takes from the donor, the disposition is so important to the Lord, the mind that gives. The mind that gives should drive the gift. So it's not about how much we give as to how much we commit to the cause of giving. The process of giving. How much do we commit to that desire? Two widows are mentioned in today's readings. The first reading, the widow of Zarephath, where Elijah encounters this woman. And then the widow of the gospel. The widow of Zarephath is used to present a picture of making sacrifice in the extreme realities of life. That woman takes a risk of faith and a risk of charity. Gave her last, her all. And it shows that giving can hurt in a positive way, especially when it involves sacrifice. Imagine this woman. Just the last piece of bread in the house, the last piece, like this is after which, no more. And she encounters the prophet, Elijah. So the prophet makes the first demand, "Give me a cup of water." And remember that the background of this encounter is that there had been drought in the land of Israel. So there's no rain and there's no food. So the prophet comes on a missionary journey, makes a demand, "Give me water," and she steps out to get the water. By the time she steps out, he calls her back. "Please, can you give me some food? Give me some bread." And this woman uses the name of the God of Elijah. He said, "But in the name of the God of Israel, as long as this God lives, what I have, I'm telling you in all sincerity, is my last. And this last is what I am preparing even to cook. So after which, my son and I, we would be waiting for death. Elijah says, do not be afraid. Go and do as I propose. This woman takes the risk of faith. She believes the prophet, teaches us the relationship between faith and charity, between the heart and the action. St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, St. Paul says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but whosoever sows generously will reap generously. This woman sows everything, gives everything that she has, and the outcome is that her jar of oil didn't run dry. The scripture says she was able to feed from there, she and her son, and even Elijah, for the next year. As long as the Lord spoke it, so it happened. But what is the driving motive for this woman? Her faith. She took the risk. Faith takes that risk. Mother Teresa of Calcutta would always say this: it isn't how much we give, but how much love is put into the giving. Not how much we give, but how much love we commit to the act of giving. So this widow stood out in the gospel today, not because of the volume of her gift, but in the disposition of her giving, in the commitment to the gift that she was given. So in the midst of varying degrees of rich men giving their surplus and making noise about it, this widow is a nobody. A nobody within this context. She's an anonymous woman, an anonymous widow in the crowd. So she sneaks in to drop her very little offering. Sneaks in. She's hiding, and drops her offering. She doesn't know that Jesus is watching her. She doesn't have any clue that Jesus is watching her. But she gives of herself with love. And that is why it is her might. She gives everything. Jesus says, gives everything, her livelihood, contributed all she had. And that is why she is distinguished. When we read the Gospels or when we read the Scriptures, there is always a deeper message that the Scriptures present for us. And you know that widows in both Old and New Testaments in the Scripture had no one to protect them. And that is why Jesus is using them here. So it shows this state of vulnerability, vulnerable within the society that they lived in. So what they are doing becomes heroic, is a heroic faith. A heroic faith is a faith that takes risk, a faith that sacrifices, a faith that stretches itself, a faith that stretches the person to the point of understanding that the remaining, even what you don't see, what you don't understand, can be taken care of by God. And that is why when Jesus was teaching his disciples, talking about their faith, when they came to him and couldn't cast a particular demon out, they asked him, why are we unable to do this, Master? Why are we unable to do it? Jesus says to them, amen, amen, I say to you, if you have faith the size of this mustard seed, I tell you, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And Jesus says in that portion of the scripture, in Matthew's Gospel chapter 17, says, for nothing is impossible for God. That is what these two women teach us today. Nothing is impossible before God. The widow of the gospel gave her poverty. She gave from her poverty. So what does this phrase mean? From her poverty. And have you thought about it? Giving from your poverty. All of us in this world are impoverished if we understand who God is in our lives. We are poor in relation to material things. We are poor, but we don't recognize it. We don't realize it. It pays off to give from our poverty, our humility, our dependence on God. That's the invitation, our dependence on God. And that is why Christ says in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." So we are poor in this world because our richness is in the hereafter. Inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God enriches us. That is why a relationship with God makes us rich, despite the physical, the material poverty that we need to practice. So there's a great difference between the gift and the spirit of the giver. Gifts are impactful when they come from a humble, simple, genuine, sacrificial heart. Inspiringly, we have several men in our community who try to do things from this humble, from this genuine, sacrificial spirit. Personally, I've been privileged to work with women, to work with men with great spirits of giving today. Men and women who want to be silent in what they do. Individuals who want to maintain low profile in their commitment to this journey. They enjoy only being spotted by God, not being praised by people. We have such men. So Christ uses this widow to cancel against the spirit of flamboyance, the spirit of exhibitionism. You exhibit yourself, especially when you are doing things for the church, when you are giving the church. And that is why Christ warns the disciples. He says to them, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes, for they accept greetings in marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets." So Christ abhors prideful mentality, spirits that puff off because of what they do. Christ doesn't want that. And that is why he's using this example, comparison between this category of people and this poor widow, the poor widow who gives herself completely from her poverty. So when Christ sees such people, what are they doing? They are brandishing themselves and they take advantage of their richness, sometimes to influence the rules and the policies and the laws of the land at the time. So their gifts are present, but the right spirit is missing. So the message is that if the giver becomes prideful, the identity of the giver gets missing in the gift. But if the true spirit is there, then the gift becomes more meaningful. So have you ever been angry because you're not recognized for your donation, for your gift? You feel like, should have mentioned my name, right? Why are they not mentioning my name? Why are they behaving like that? Some time ago, I referenced this attitude of giving to the church. That someone could attack a priest for his homily and threatened to withdraw his donation to the church. I don't understand it. You get upset, then I'm going to withdraw my donation, right? I'm going to withdraw my donation because I am sponsoring the church. That's not how it works. That's like you're sponsoring God, right? Can someone sponsor God? Think about it. God gives you whatever you have, and God gives you that so you can serve You can serve the church and serve humanity. So it's a blessing. Some people have worked harder than all of us here, and they do not make it. So God gives us the blessing. Are we able to appreciate him enough through our own gifts? So let's shun such kind of attitude. If you act like that, then you are like these men in the gospel, doling out sums of money and imagining that there is need to give praise, to give special recognition for the gift. And that is why Christ is telling us today, putting in large sum is good, but putting in large spirit far outweighs the gift. We have to identify this right spirit and shun the spirit of ostentation. Support our donation with a humble spirit, a genuine spirit, a sacrificial spirit. We are invited today to imitate these widows. The spirit of the widows inspires sacrifice in us. The first widow in the first reading fed the prophet, relied on God in the moment of scarcity. The second widow gave her mite, so she gave from her poverty, not from her surplus. She gave in humility. So they challenge our disposition in giving and in doing acts of charity. And if we might ask ourselves, do we put in enough love in our giving? Are we able to give even when it hurts for the sake of God? Can we give our widows mite from our poverty? This weekend, we are talking about the winter relief shelter, the winter relief, an invitation for us to recognize the need of the homeless and to help serve them. This is an opportunity to give, an opportunity to serve, an opportunity to volunteer. That's a great opportunity. I once had an interview with the lady who runs the winter relief shelter at Christ the King in, I think, the last two or three editions of the Family Apostolate magazine we published. And that woman, I mean, what she said was revealing. She said, when we serve these people, we are more enriched, even without knowing it, than they themselves. We are more enriched. So it's an opportunity to even grow in our spirituality, to get connected with God, to feel his love on the face of these people who come in. And I've been, privileged to be with them, to interact with them when they are with us. Those are moments that will ever remain memorable in your lives. They tell you stories, things you don't even understand, and you don't even know about those who are out there. So it can be a moment to be like the widows, to do and give our widows might. So we have to surrender to God, surrender our poverty to God, bring ourselves for God to enrich us. And that is also what the Blessed Eucharist does for us. When we come to Christ, we come in trust. We come with total abandon. We give him our poverty. So it will probably require that you bring to him each day, like this widow, with trust that he will provide in your life. If you need to go to confession first, then bring your poverty to the sacrament of reconciliation and let Christ take over and enrich you with his grace. Keep bringing your poverty to him. He does enrich you. And the psalm says today, the Lord sets captives free. So the depth of change in our encounter with the Blessed Eucharist at every moment is huge. But that change requires surrendering. Are you able to surrender? Are you able to give? Are you able to give of your poverty? You come to the Lord poor, and you live rich. May God bless us. Amen.